Thank you, Jonga Kandemiri. Good evening, Zimbabwe. You are listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America on Monday, August 31st, 2015. Thank you for joining us live from Washington. This is Chris Gande.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyahuye.
Here are our top stories this evening.
The Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights today led Zimbabweans in marking the International Day of the Victims of Enforced Disappearances with calls on President Robert Mugabe to protect Zimbabweans and guarantee their safety.
Though we are bitter here and there, but this is a form of therapy. As we speak to others, as we can see that still happening to others, and try to help our brethren, then we have hope for the future.
More than 230 former Chitungwiza Town Council workers dismissed last week following the July 17 Supreme Court ruling besieged the council's headquarters today, demanding their outstanding salaries and allowances.
Although the employers would prefer to use the word termination, but to us it means the same thing. If you dismiss or terminate my contract, the result is that I'm dismissed from my employment.
And Zimbabwe's public health sector is in crisis as the government fails to adequately fund the sector, leaving external donors and foreign countries to chip in.
These stories and much, much more coming up. Stay tuned.
The Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights today led Zimbabweans in marking the United Nations International Day of the Victims of Enforced Disappearances, which is marked every year with victims of torture, abductions, and non-governmental organizations calling on President Robert Mugabe to protect Zimbabweans and guarantee the safety of persons as required by UN statutes. Patricia Mudadigwa reports from Harare.
Noting that it was said that Zimbabwe was marking the day while Itai Dzamara, a journalist and activist who disappeared in March, is still missing, Proportional Representation Member of Parliament Conciliar Chinandravana said the commemorations were therapeutic and gave victims and their families an opportunity to speak out and encourage each other.
There are people who have suffered, there are people who are still suffering, and let's commemorate these things are still happening. Though we are bitter here and there, but this is a form of therapy. As we speak to others, as we can see that still happening to others, and try to help our brethren, then we have hope for the future.
A war veteran and former Presidential Guard member, Chinoto Zulu, who was abducted and tortured in 2008 for allegedly supporting the opposition MDC, said it is said that Zimbabweans are now suffering at the hands of a black government, regardless of selfless efforts by veterans and ordinary Zimbabweans in the 1970s liberation struggle to rid the country of colonial rule.
The government is wrong because people now, they are always missing just because of this government of Mugabe.
Shefra Dzamara, wife to Itai Dzamara, told Studio 7 that her husband's disappearance has made her vulnerable and she's being tortured mentally.
This day is a very difficult day for me because my husband is nowhere to be found. We don't even know where he is. It's really difficult for me and the kids. To the abductors, please release my husband alive.
Bishop Anseli Momagaya, with Divine Destiny, prayed for good leadership in Zimbabwe. He urged all Zimbabweans to fear God.
I feel pity for those that abduct, maim and kill on their behalf, as well as on behalf of those that send them. Because Amana conscience, God is watching from the heavens, and once the cup of abomination is full, justice will ensue.
Zimbabwe, for the past decade, has been in the news for the wrong reasons, with the opposition claiming that President Mugabe's ruling party abducted and tortured opponents, including human rights activists and independent journalists. Several MDC activists abducted in 2008 gave testimonials at the event. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, I'm Patricia Mdadigwa.
Deputy Home Affairs Minister Ziyambi Ziyambi said the government is doing all it can to help families whose relatives are missing.
My reaction to that is we do not have any victims of enforced disappearance, and we do not know who caused what they may term forced disappearance. As a government, like we have always said, if anyone disappears and relatives come forward and tell us, we always do everything necessary within the means that we have to ensure that we find that particular person. But for somebody to claim that somebody is enforced disappearance, we do not have information to that effect.
They are also pointing to the Itai Dzamara case, for example, and they are arguing that the government is not doing enough.
The Itai Dzamara case, we have said it over and over again, that we are investigating. We have tried as much as we could to find information from whoever was there when he disappeared to give us leads. And unfortunately, all those people have not given us information that can lead us to wherever he may have gone.
That was Deputy Home Affairs Minister Ziyambi Ziyambi in Harare speaking to Studio 7's Blessing Zulu.
More than 230 Chitungwiza Town Council workers who were dismissed last week following the July 17 Supreme Court ruling today besieged the council's headquarters, demanding their outstanding salaries and allowances. Some of the workers claimed they have not been paid going back to 2013. Workers' representative Ephraim Katsina says they demanded a meeting with the Chitungwiza Town Clerk George Makunde, seeking assurance as to when the dismissed workers could be paid. Last week, the local authority handed dismissal letters to 238 workers, 2 days after President Robert Mugabe signed the Labour Amendment Bill into law. Katsina tells reporter Jonga Kandemiri they are meeting with the town clerk again tomorrow, adding failure to agree will lead them to seek an audience with local government minister Xavier Kasukuwere.
Today, there was a main council meeting that was done, and the workers were demanding to see the town clerk and the mayor, but they all did not want to talk to the workers. And after some time, we saw some two soldiers escorting the town clerk. In fact, they whisked him away from the scene.
But what did you finally agree on after meeting with the council officials?
After meeting the town clerk, he said that maybe on Friday you will pay the 3 months. But the workers are saying, no, you should pay our arrears first, our 26-month arrears first before you pay us the 3 months notice. So, in fact, we have arranged a meeting tomorrow at 10 o'clock where we are going to discuss about the way forward.
In the event that you fail to agree, what are you going to do?
We have already approached our lawyers. We are taking council to court because council dismissed these employees based on a law that is not existing at the moment, because the common law was repealed by parliament and the president appended his signature on that new bill, which does not now carry the common law. So we are going to challenge the council about this common law because we feel it's very unfair.
That was Chitungwiza Town Council Workers Representative Ephraim Katsina speaking with Studio 7 reporter Jonga Kandemiri from Chitungwiza. Studio 7 failed to reach Mr. Makunde as his mobile phone was not reachable. Zimbabwe Congress of Trade Unions President George Nkiwane tells reporter Gibbs Dube that the workers should take their dismissal letters to the ZCTU offices for assistance.
Any worker who is affected or dismissed, although the employers would prefer to use the word termination, but to us, it means the same thing. If you dismiss or terminate my contract, the result is that I'm dismissed from my employment. So what we do advise them is that those that are dismissed, they should visit our offices, come to our office, bring their copies of those letters. We are based in Harare at Golden House. So when they come there, I will try to engage our lawyers so that they assist them.
But is there any hope that something may come out if they actually engage the ZCTU?
You know, it will be just hoping against hope, but I mean, we have to do our best because that is why we are there as an organization, is to make sure that we safeguard and protect and advance the interests of the working class. So we it's a two-pronged approach. Politically, of course, we continue to engage the Minister of Labour, but we also have to take the legal route.
So now, taking the legal route, is it not going to take time? While we are doing it, somebody may be suffering back home there in terms of, you know, these workers are catering for lots of people.
It's true. It's true. That one cannot be avoided because we don't have any form of social security or employment benefit. Once an employee is dismissed, then you become a destitute.
That was ZCTU President George Ngiwane on the line with Studio 7's Gibbs Dube.
The Bulawayo City Council says it is concerned at the sex parties that have gripped the second city. This follows the arrest of 57 youth in Lockview suburb on Saturday night. Police responded to a complaint about too much noise and arrested the revelers, according to the Chronicle newspapers. Condoms, beer bottles, and a traditional aphrodisiac known as umvu sankunzi in Ndebele were recovered, the paper added. The youth were charged with criminal nuisance and were released yesterday after paying a $5 fine each. Bulawayo Deputy Mayor Gift Banda tells Ntungamili Komo they are working with police and the churches to discourage the dangerous behavior.
It's a great concern, but we attribute it mainly to the parents who are no longer around in most cases, who leave their houses to be manned by the school-going children, who then abuses the absence of the parents in engaging in these activities that are coming. It is a great concern in the city. We have also managed to hold some meetings where we are discouraging such kind of happenings.
What efforts exactly are you making as the local authority?
Recently, we had a combined effort with the churches and the council where we held an awareness campaign discouraging these young children in engaging in such activities. And it's an ongoing thing that is happening between ourselves, the police, and the parents.
And do you think the police and the parents are doing their level best to make sure that this problem comes to an end?
Every parent is concerned, be it the police, be it the parents who are the parents of these children. We are all concerned. But the main problem that we come across is that these parties are being held secretively, where some other times it's very difficult to detect these type of parties. The police only act when they find out where these parties will exactly be held. But it's difficult to detect in most of the cases because these parties are held in a secret location in the houses that most of the parents will be away in diaspora.
Bulawayo Deputy Mayor Gift Banda on the line with reporter Ntungamili Nkomo from Bulawayo.
You're listening to Studio 7 from the Voice of America in Washington.
We are broadcasting on 909 Metom Wave and on the 4930, 5940 and 15460 shortwave frequencies.
On the internet, find us at www.studio7news.com.
You can also text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Coming up,
Zimbabwe's public health sector is in crisis with shortages of funds affecting service delivery.
But first, we take a look at regional and international news.
U.S. President Barack Obama is traveling today to the northwestern state of Alaska to meet with residents and deliver an address at a conference where U.S. and foreign officials, scientists, and locals are gathering to discuss the effects of climate change on the Arctic region.
The interior ministers of Britain, France, and Germany have called for urgent action to address the challenges of thousands of migrants flowing into Europe, which has divided European nations as they debate how to respond.
And Malaysia's government staked its claim to the capital streets today after a two-day demonstration calling for the ouster of Prime Minister Najib Razak.
Zimbabwe's public health sector is in crisis as the government fails to adequately fund the sector, leaving external donors and foreign countries to chip in. This year, the international community has provided $147 million for the health sector against government's meager $53 million. Ivan Chifera has details from Harare.
Despite the external support, the funds still fall far short of the $303 million the health ministry had requested in the current budget to effectively run its operations in 2015. A perusal of the government's 2015 budget shows the Minister of Health, through the donor funds and the government Miaga contribution, received $300 million for use this year, with $177 million going towards employment costs, $53 million to operations and $28 million for capital expenditure. Of the amount allocated, $53 million set aside for operations, only $8 million was allocated for all the public hospitals in the country against the total requirements of $142 million. A senior official in the health ministry, Martin Matongera, recently told a health forum meeting for journalists organized by the Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights that the budget allocation for 2015 was grossly inadequate, making it difficult for the nurses and doctors to run the country's public hospitals.
The allocation for hospitals is 8 million, and it's only 6% of their requirements. These are their requirements that when they made their bids, their requirements was up to 142 million. Therefore, making it difficult to achieve Zima's target.
Matongera said there is need for the government to step up domestic support for health services in the country, adding, though the Treasury had authorized hospitals to retain money charged for services provided, funds remain largely inadequate to meet the nation's health requirements. He said hospitals expected to collect $35 million from service fees, but said that it was highly unlikely given the economic meltdown being experienced in the country lately. As at the end of July, hospitals in the country had collected slightly more than $200,000 only, a mere drop in the ocean compared to the expected income. Community Working Group on Health Director Itairu Sike tells Studio 7, it's unfortunate that the bulk of Zimbabwe's health funding is now coming from donors. But most worrying, Rusike says, is that not all the allocated funds in the budget are dispersed.
What is often allocated is not what is then received by the Ministry of Health. Hence, Zimbabwe is now failing to meet most of its health targets, including the MDGs, which are now coming to an end. And we see a situation where maternal mortality is unacceptably high, at almost about 640 deaths per 100,000 live births. We see people dying from preventable illnesses, such as diarrhea.
He adds donors should come in to complement government efforts in the provision of health services and not vice versa. Zimbabwe Doctors for Human Rights chairperson, Dr. Twendebonde, agrees. She says the government is the primary custodian of public health and it is its constitutional mandate to look after its citizens.
Only the state, only the government can ensure that the sustainability of any kind of public health service delivery.
She adds, the public health delivery system will remain in a crisis as long as there is insufficient domestic financing of the healthcare system.
Whenever partnership agreements are signed, they are time-bound and they also have priorities which may not necessarily address all the urgent issues which have to do with public health.
Donor funds are disbursed through various programs. For example, one of the major donors, Global Fund, will fund malaria programs in the country to the tune of $10.6 million, and the HIV/AIDS initiatives will receive $6.9 million. The American government spends millions of dollars on HIV/AIDS programs under the President's Emergency Plan for AIDS Relief in Zimbabwe every year. Harare resident Tobias Dewa says it is time the government prioritize the health sector funding as people are dying needlessly from preventable diseases like diarrhea.
I don't think this question should be directed to us. It should be directed to the government. What's their stance? What's their position regarding the issue of health sector in Zimbabwe? The hospitals are pathetic. They're in a depleted state. And we citizens, what can we do? We've been talking about this agenda for a long time. I think the government needs to now to take responsibility. They need to answer your questions.
Health journalist John Kasim says the situation in the health sector is bad, adding, it's the poor who are most affected as they cannot afford to pay for health care at private hospitals or travel abroad for medical checkups and treatment, as is done by President Robert Mugabe, his ministers, and top government officials regularly. With no public health insurance scheme, most Zimbabweans rely on government-owned public health hospitals, while only 1.2 million of Zimbabwe's 14 million people are covered by private health insurance schemes. Medical aid companies last year paid out claims of over $400 million against a national budget of $340 million. Normally, the health budget used to come second after education in terms of budgetary allocations, but this year it was pushed to the fifth position. Dr. Bonde said this was largely because social service ministries lacked the political clout to demand their fair share of the national budget. Reporting for Studio 7 from Harare, this is Ivan Chifera.
Stay tuned for Studio 7 Live Talk 8:30 p.m. when our host will lead discussions about the International Day of the Disappeared.
To join the discussion, text us at 001-202-465-0318 so we can call you right back from our studios.
And in sports news tonight, FC Platinum's Moneybags have emerged as the strongest challengers for the Castle Lager Premier Soccer League title. Reporter Michael Cariati tells us why.
The other matches ended as follows. Chapungu 2, Capes United 1, Wange 1, Harare City 0, ZPC Kariba 2, Wawa 1, Buffaloes 2, Flame Lily 0, Dongo Sawmills 2, Cholocho Pirates 0. At the end of week 21, the top four teams are Chicken Inn, 43 points, Dynamos, 39 points, FC Platinum, 38 points, Triangle, 36 points. The bottom four are facing relegation, and they are Flame Lily, 18 points, Cholocho Pirates, 18 points, Wawa, 18 points, Dongo Sawmills, 17 points. There will be no Castle Lager Premier Soccer League matches over this coming weekend. Instead, the fans will be going Go Warriors Go as Zimbabwe play Guinea in a 2017 Africa Cup of Nations qualifier. The match, Studio 7 has just been told, has been moved from the National Sports Stadium to Rufaro Stadium. Reporting for Studio 7 in Harare, this is Michael Cariati.
Thanks, Michael. Chibi Rural District Council Chairman Killa Zivu at the weekend launched a program he hopes will save human lives and livestock along the highway in the district in Maswingo. Zivu says he will be urging farmers in the area to get reflectors for their livestock as a way of preventing and reducing accidents in the district. Ivan Chifera has more details.
Speaking at the launch, Zivu, who is councillor for Ward 31, said the initial phase will see the distribution of 5,000 reflectors to be used on cattle and donkeys, blamed for most of the accidents that have claimed the lives of a lot of people along the Maswingo Bedbridge Highway.
I've seen a lot of people dying. I've seen a lot of people losing their livestock, including myself. I've been involved in two accidents with animals. I've seen relatives who have buried some. So we want to prevent. And as the situation as it is, there's no fence and there's no any signs that it will come soon.
Zivu said most accidents, particularly along the Mashungo-Bed Bridge Highway, which passes through the districts, were caused by stray livestock, adding the reflectors will assist drivers to see the animals on the road, especially at night. The reflectors will be put on the necks of the cattle and donkeys. Goats and sheep were excluded as they usually do not move during the night. Chivi Growth Point resident Florence Wungwe is confident the program will achieve its intended objectives.
They even prevent accidents, especially having reflectors on our cattle and donkeys.
Another resident of the area, Patience Mungani, said the program was noble and should be extended to all districts around the country.
We also advise him to go to do this even in other areas, not here in Chivi only. Even in Gutu, Blawayo, Marondera, everywhere. That's a very good job.
Most roads in Zimbabwe do not have perimeter fences, leaving domestic and wild animals to stray on the roads, causing fatal accidents. Reporting for Studio 7 from Chivi, this is Ivan Chifera.
That's the music of Ja Praiser with Mukoma Makaoma.
And now to recap today's top stories.
The Zimbabwe Lawyers for Human Rights today led Zimbabweans in marking the International Day of Victims of Enforced Disappearances with calls on President Robert Mugabe to protect Zimbabweans and guarantee their safety.
More than 230 former Chitungwiza Town Council workers dismissed last week following the July 17 Supreme Court ruling besieged the council's headquarters today, demanding their outstanding salaries and allowances.
And Zimbabwe's public health sector is in crisis as the government fails to adequately fund the sector, leaving external donors and foreign countries to chip in.
That's our broadcast this evening.
Join us at 7 every evening for news in three languages and visit us on the internet at www.studio7news.com. For more on our top stories, you can send us an email to studio7@voanews.com or text us at 001-202-465-0318.
Now stand by for Studio 7 in Ndebele. This is Chris Gande in Washington, D.C.
And I'm Marvelous Mhlanga Nyawuye, wishing you a pleasant evening and a very good night.